Smeaton will be here this Sunday preaching for us, so look forward to hearing the word of the Lord through our brother, friend. Amen. Let's just, also, Brother Phil's out of town, so remember him in prayer. He had texted me this week, so he'll be out of town Sunday as well. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we're thanking you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here, Father. We ask, God, that you will, Father, come and as you have graced us with your presence during the start of this service, Lord, may you continue, Lord, during the bringing of the word and anoint me, Lord, to be able to speak the word of the Lord to the people, to be a help, Father, and instruction, dear God. We ask, God, that you would be with Brother Phil, watch over him while he's out of town, and bring him back safely, dear God. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You may be seated. When the Gentiles accepted Christianity, begin to come to the gospel, this became an issue amongst the church. The Jews, especially those Jewish believers from Jerusalem, took issue with these things. And in the book of Acts, they came together to discuss this. And they were discussing about circumcision because some brethren had went out from Jerusalem and went out amongst the Gentile believers and were commanding them to be circumcised. And so they talked about that. And Paul was there. And then Peter spoke up and said how that the Lord had spoke through him to the Gentiles and how they had received the gospel of Jesus Christ and had received the Holy Ghost. And he was saying, and this they did not being circumcised. And so Peter was extending this, to refrain them from condemning the Gentiles and to accept their Gentile brethren. And then James spoke up and said, that he agreed with that, and that they should not push upon them the law of circumcision, and that, but that they should write a letter and send it to, and there was three cities of the Gentiles that they mentioned, Antioch, I remember that one, and they were going to send, because Paul and Barnabas were going out to these Gentile cities to the believers. So they chose two brethren, Jewish brethren of Jerusalem, to go with them and take a letter. And in this letter, they talked about things that they were instructing the Gentiles not to do. And one of the things was they were saying, don't eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols. You find then Paul addressing this in Corinth. And remember, Corinth was a very wicked place. And there was, as we mentioned before, there was a lot of different idol worship in the city of Corinth. And Paul mentions in Corinthians 10, maybe we'll read that in a moment, about the meat that's sold in the marketplace. They call it the shambles. And what would happen was there would be animals brought in to be sacrificed to these idols within these idolatry temples. And then that meat, then from those sacrifices, would be took down, the surplus of it would be took down to the marketplace. And then it was sold in the marketplace, just like you would go down to the store and buy your meat. They didn't have Kroger's and Walmart's and things like that. So it was in a marketplace. And I've seen these places in other countries that I've been in. They still have that type of settings. And, the meat would be down there, and people would come through the marketplace to buy their needs, their groceries, and so forth. And so they would buy this meat, take the meat home, fix it, and have it for a supper. And so Paul was addressing this. And then Paul was saying, the idols are nothing. They're not real. They're not gods. We know they're not gods. We have this knowledge. He says, but not everybody has actually been liberated into that knowledge, that their conscience would be smoked for eating meat if they knew it was had come from sacrifices to idols. And they would feel like that perhaps they were entering back into idolatry by partaking of this meat, or they were condoning idolatry. And so Paul was saying, this isn't so. You're not condoning idolatry. You're not entering back into idolatry. It's just meat. That's what Paul was saying. So, just ask God's blessing on it and eat it. But he says, but we have other brethren that their conscience smites them over this. And so, therefore, if you are around somebody that has a weak conscience, then, don't do it unless you would offend them. And Paul's saying, in their presence, I'm not going to eat meat as long as the world stands, lest I would offend them. And because he said their conscience is weak, and it would put a stumbling block in their way. Turn me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's read just a few verses there that Paul again speaks about this. Verse 23 of chapter 10. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. You know what the word expedient means. In other words, it's it might be lawful, but maybe it's not good for others that I would do this. It's not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that's the marketplace, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, and asking no questions for conscience sake. But if a man say to you, this is offered in sacrifice unto all idols, eat not for his sake that should it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now, Paul's speaking here, and he's bringing out more about this, about eating this meat. And, you know, in this example, Paul gives that a non-believer asks a believer over to eat dinner. And they know they're a Christian, and therefore, because they're a Christian, they kind of put a test to them to see what they're going to do. By the way, this meat I'm getting ready to offer you for dinner, it was sacrificed to idols. And so you can see their intent. It's not a good motive that they have. It's just like many non-believers in the world, worldly people, you know, always wanting to try to ensnare the Christian, trap them up so they can point an accusing finger at them. And so Paul's saying, if this be the case, if this happens, then when they tell you that, then don't eat it. Because you look and you see what their motive actually is. Because they want you to go ahead and eat it and then say, well, I thought you were a Christian. Here you are eating meat that's been sacrificed to an idol. So Paul's saying, in that case, don't eat it. But if they ask you over and they don't tell you where it come from, and don't ask them where it came from. Just eat and go on and say the blessing over it and go on and eat it. And you know, but what we can draw from this, because Paul starts out in chapter 8 by talking about love edifieth. And so having love for your brother, there are Christians who, you know, they have weak conscience, so as Paul said, concerning certain things. And there would be things that you perhaps, there's nothing wrong with, you have the liberty to do it, but you know that how they might view it, and so forth, you know that it would offend them. And so, you know, out of love for them and respect for them, don't offend their weak conscience. Right. You know, it's like I've known people that they were very particular about restaurants that they would eat in. They wouldn't eat in any restaurant that happened to serve alcohol. Well, I guess if you know, as long as you're here in the States, you can eat at McDonald's. If you go to Germany, you won't even want to eat at McDonald's because they serve alcohol at McDonald's in Germany. You know, it's a different culture. But, you know, I guess McDonald's, KFC, Burger King, and all them, you're pretty safe, you know. But is there anything wrong at eating at a restaurant where they serve drinks? There's not many restaurants that you can go to where they don't. And you're not going there to order them. You're not drinking them. Is there any grocery stores that don't sell alcohol? You know, so, you know, if you're going to stretch it that far, then you're going to have to look at, well, where are you going to shop for your groceries at? And, but if you know that something of this nature would be offensive to someone, then, you know, don't do it and offend them. And, you know, because you want to be edifying to one another, not a stumbling block. There was something I came across while I was studying on this, and at first I passed over it, and then later I kept thinking about it, and I came back to it, and so I looked it back up when I got back here, and because it just wouldn't leave me. But Brother Branham tells a story in What Hearest Thou, Elijah, said there was Brother Bosworth, who you know was a fellow minister of Brother Branham's, Brother Branham actually even called him his father in the gospel, told Brother Branham a little joke. And Brother Branham found the joke humorous, and so he was out with another brother. And while he was out with this brother, Brother Branham told him the joke. And Brother Branham's telling this in this message, and while he's telling it in this message, Brother Branham tells the joke right there in the message and said what it was. There was a little baby that was a newborn baby and in a family. And there was another little older boy that would be the brother of this little baby. And that little boy was standing there looking at this little baby, and the little baby was just crying, you know, and his mouth gapped wide open and just laying there squalling and kicking and everything. And the little boy says to his mom, he said, "Did you say this baby come from heaven?" And she said, "Yes, he did." He said, "Well, I can tell you why they put him out." And, you know, so Brother Branham tells a joke right here in this service while he's talking about this. And so then he says, well, he told it to this brother. Well, then this brother went home and told his wife. And when he told his wife says, "I can't believe that Brother Branham would tell a joke." And so the brother then tries to defend Brother Branham. And he says, "Well, honey," he says, "Brother Branham in his meetings, he gets so keyed up and under such an anointing and seeing visions and things that till when he gets out, he's got to relax." Well, then his wife's reply to him was, "Well, you're not Brother Branham, and you don't have meetings like Brother Branham, so why are you telling the joke?" You know, so what we find here, this is, and I'm not trying to de-Christianize her or look down on her, but here is a Christian woman. And evidently she's got an ideal in her mind that to be a Christian, you don't joke around. You don't kid around. Perhaps she doesn't even have a sense of humor. I don't know. But, you know, she was of the frame. And there's more out there that believe this way, that a Christian should always be of a somber tone, you know. Just always serious. No kidding around and all this. So here she was offended. That's the way Brother Branham took it. She was offended because she heard that Brother Branham had told a joke. So Brother Branham says, he quotes this scripture where Paul talks about not eating meat if it would offend my brother. And, you know, to not put a stumbling block in their way. And Brother Branham said, see, I shouldn't have done that. He said, because, you know, that could have put a stumbling block in her way. And so I'm taking all this in and I'm reading this, but then I go back and I say, okay, while Brother Branham's talking about this, in the service, he tells the joke. And he's saying he shouldn't have told the joke to this man, this other brother, because here it felt like it offended his wife and put a stumbling block in front of her. But while he's telling this within the church service, he tells the joke. And so what I'm drawing from it is that, you know, Brother Branham's saying, look, in other words, this woman, she had a weak conscience about it. And so Brother Branham was feeling bad that he had said something to this brother, and then this brother had in turn took it. But you figure the brother should have known how his wife was. So, you would think, that he would have known better than to tell her a joke. Because I don't think this would have come as a surprise to him. But then, here she was offended by Brother Branham telling it, but then she criticized her husband and says, well, what's your excuse for telling it? When he, tried to defend Brother Branham. And, there are things that, and may I say this, I'm not one of the people who believe that you've got to always be serious, that everything's got to be of a somber tone, and that Brother Branham many times cut up and kind of kidded around, and he did it sometimes, the kidding around sometimes from the pulpit, and Brother Branham was serious about bringing the word. But I have had testimony from other brothers who actually were with Brother Branham. One brother, Brother Perry Green, gave a testimony one time, said he was out with Brother Branham. And Brother Branham, while they were out driving, visions just kept coming. And it was just wearing Brother Branham out. And so Brother Branham turned to Brother Perry and he says, Brother Perry, tell me a joke. He says, the only thing I know that can break this. So, I don't believe that Brother Branham believed that you couldn't have a sense of humor. Brother Branham even talked about and said Jesus Christ had a sense of humor. When Jesus Christ was asked a question concerning Herod, he said, you go tell that old fox. And Brother Branham said, see, that showed that Jesus had a sense of humor. And so, but that's a liberty that we have. And my conscience is not condemned by it, but another person might have a different view on that, and their conscience be weak that way, and therefore it would offend them. And and there's none of us that can say that there's never been a time that we haven't at one time or another offended somebody without meaning to. And of course there's some folks that it doesn't take much to offend them. Sometimes you don't have to do anything. They just think you think something and it offends them. And you ain't thinking it at all. Paul's bringing this out, like I said, considering where that he's speaking here in Corinth, and he's speaking amongst these Gentiles, and there were churches where there were both Jews and Gentile members, and they had this this was an ongoing thing. Should they eat, you know, how about eating meat and so on? And if you remember when we brought out about Peter's vision that the Lord had given, and in the vision, there was meat and things that was laid out on this spread, and the meat that was laid out on the spread just wasn't just any meat. It was meat from animals that, according to the Jewish law, they were forbidden to eat. You know, Jews don't eat pork. And there was meat they would not eat. And when the Lord was showing this vision to Peter, that was the meat that was on that spread that the Lord told him, partake of it. And Peter said, no, not so. You know, those things have never passed these lips. And he says, call not thou unclean what the Lord has calls clean. And, of course, the Lord was giving him the vision to show him because of how the Jews viewed the Gentiles. They viewed them as an unclean people. And so, but amongst the Gentiles, you got to realize the Jews, when they came to Christianity through Christ, they continued on with their don't eat this type of meat and don't eat that type of meat and don't do this and don't do that. And you know, Paul had to deal with, you know, they're talking about keeping of the Sabbaths and all these things, you know, and that they were still, you know, living by these things of the law. But the Gentiles, they were not under that. And that's actually discussed, I believe, in the 10th chapter of Acts, when the church there in Jerusalem was discussing these things concerning the Gentiles. And, you know, so the Gentiles, they weren't under such. But God called them and brought them and called them his own. And so the Gentiles not only where's their meat that was sold in their marketplaces that had been offered to idols, but there was meat that was there that a Jew would not eat, but the Gentiles ate. And, you know, I have seen people, even today, within the message, that hold to some of these things and won't eat pork or won't eat certain things, you know. And Brother Branham talks about, you know, there have been people that came to the tabernacle and they had left the tabernacle and they went out and they, because they didn't believe in eating meat and they wanted to keep the Sabbath of certain days and things. And so they actually left out from the tabernacle. And Brother Branham quoted Paul and said they went out from us because they were not one of us. And, you know, so this whole thing about eating of meats and that, you know, I was visiting a place on a mission trip some years ago. And while I was there, the pastor, the host pastor that had invited me in that, when I got there, I found out he didn't eat pork. And so he had his belief about it. And so when I found this out, I wouldn't eat pork in front of him because I didn't want to offend him. And, you know, of course, when I come back here to the States, I took back up eating pork. But while I was there with that brother, because I knew that, I'm at liberty. But because I knew that and knew how you felt about it, I didn't want to be a stumbling block or an offense to him. So while I was there, I didn't partake of pork. We went out several mornings he would come and get us and take us out to actually McDonald's for breakfast. And, you know, and at McDonald's, if you get the, I guess it's called a big breakfast or something like that, the eggs and potatoes, and they'd have a piece of sausage. And so while I was out with him in that, I wouldn't eat of the sausage because I didn't want to be a stumbling block to the brother. And that, you know. Now, is it wrong to eat it? No, it's not wrong. Do I have the liberty to eat it? Yes. But, you know, like Paul's saying, should I let my liberty bring a stumbling block to someone else? You know, now, you know, and so that I did that. But there was another brother that was with me, and he went ahead and ate. And he went ahead and ate the pork. And so, you know, nothing was really ever said. And I wasn't eating mine, so I'd give mine to the brother. The other brother was with me that would eat it, you know. And he was eating it right there anyway, you know. And so after a while, the other brother was with me. He, I don't know if he got to thinking about what I was doing, and I was giving mine to him right in front of this pastor, and he was sitting there eating it. So then after two or three mornings, you know, why, the next morning now he said, no, I don't want it, you know, and he wouldn't eat it either, you know. The pastor, you know, he told us what he felt about it. And, you know, and I don't really know that it really was a religious thing with him. His belief was, you know, that the fat is in the blood. And so you know, that the pork was actually bad for your health, I guess. It was what I kind of gathered from things he said. And that, but we went out, while I was there, we went out to a brother's house that was from his church. And this brother was a pig farmer. He was a farmer, he had beef and pigs. And he showed us his livestock, you know. And, you know, then they, from, that's where they got their meat from, was from what they raised. And so they served us dinner from their own animals, you know, that they had butchered. And so that was the meat that was on the table. And so then I'm there with, you know, this brother who doesn't eat pork. And, you know, and I didn't really want to offend him. And so up to this time, I hadn't been eating pork in his presence. But then here I am invited to sit down and eat dinner at this other brother's house with him. And this brother's serving us, you know, and when they serve you, you know, well, you don't want to offend them either. Because if you say, no, I can't eat that, then that made them think, well, what's wrong with it? And, you know, so here I was kind of fixed. So I didn't say anything about it. We prayed and I just ate. And, you know, and just went on, and then nothing was said about it. And so, you know, what Paul is actually expressing here is having love one for another. If you are aware that someone has that their conscience is a certain way concerning something, then, you know, don't do it and then be an offense to them, be a stumbling block to them and offend them by what you're doing. And also Paul brings out here and he says, you know, that, you know, if in the eighth chapter that he's talking about, that if you sit down with somebody to eat and they know that in this example that this meat has been offered to idol, don't sit there and try to convince them that if their conscience is one way concerning something, don't try to sit there and convince them that their conscience is wrong and that it's okay to go ahead and partake. And because then what happens is then you cause that brother, he feels like he pressured, you know, and so perhaps he'll go ahead and partake and then later feel all condemned about it. And so Paul's bringing this out when he says, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idols unto this hour eat it as a thing offered to idols, and for their conscience being weak is defiled. And he says, for if any man see thee which hath knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him that was weak be emboldened to eat those things which were offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. In other words, if you sit there and, try to persuade them that, look, there's nothing wrong with this, and try to encourage them, go ahead and partake, then you've caused a problem for that person. Because perhaps they will partake or do what you're doing or whatever because they're in your presence and you're saying it's okay. But then later, their conscience is going to smite them over it. And they're going to feel very condemned. And so, that's why Paul says, and that your weak brother would perish. And so Paul's saying, don't do that. So if there's things that you have, that there's nothing wrong with doing, and you have the liberty of doing them, but you know that someone else doesn't share that same view, then, don't try to persuade them. Don't try to sway them from their view on it. I knew a brother that he wouldn't go out to a restaurant that where they perhaps had sold any type of alcohol. And me and my family went out with him and his family once, and so we ended up going to KFC's on a Sunday because I knew he would be okay with going there. And, I wanted to get a little fellowship with a brother. I wanted to go out with him. And so I didn't try to tell him, brother, look, they sell alcohol at the grocery store and all these things, and bring up all these things, to try to convince him to go somewhere else. I knew how he felt, so I let it go at that. And that's because you're preferring your brother. You're thinking more, as Paul said, about their welfare than your own. And that's what Paul was bringing out here. And and like I said, I came across this about Brother Branham talking about telling this little joke. And and Brother Branham says, you see, it puts a stumbling block. We have to watch what we're doing. God's going to judge us for the way we act and what we do. So, and remember, the scriptures tells us not to offend one of these little ones. And don't offend your brother and your sister. If there's something you know would offend them, then by all means, don't do it. And, just because you don't believe and see, have the knowledge, I guess is how Paul put it, have the knowledge that there's nothing wrong with it. But he says not every person has this knowledge. And so you keep in mind your brother. And, we here, we don't necessarily deal with meats that's been sacrificed to idols. So it's what Paul's dealing with here, the directness of it doesn't really apply to us in that we don't have to deal with this direct thing. But what the meaning of it all is what that I was bringing out tonight, that what it actually would mean for us. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and we're asking, dear God, that you would take these little teaching, Lord, that we've brought here tonight, Lord, and may it have been a blessing to the people, dear God, and may we take these things, keep them in mind, Father, concerning one another, concerning our other brothers and sisters, dear God. And Lord, we ask, dear God, that you would, Father, go with them, Father, and bring us back here at the appointed time. Pray that you be with Brother Bo, Lord, as he's preparing for the service on Sunday, Lord, and watch over him while he's making his journey over here, dear God. And we ask for your blessings on that service as well, in Jesus Christ's name.